Morning.
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 I'm amazed that there's this many people here. Good job, some of you. I'll try to be entertaining or something this morning so that you won't fall asleep. Maybe you're like our home. You're in bed early, so. No? Okay, that's fine. You didn't have to. Maybe you said, but I have no idea. Oh, well, welcome. Before we dive in, got a couple announcements. I'm excited that they'll be back. We'll be praying for them. They're coming back here. We have a group of college students, and Chase Kim took to Seattle to the Resurgence Conference at Mars Hill in Seattle. And so we have a group gone, and they're traveling today. And so just that they get back safely. Lots going on coming up in the new year. And to be quite honest, I can't really remember what all it is because Chase is gone. And he's usually the one who reminds me of all of those things. But I do know this. I do know that we have another round of membership classes coming up. We call it Taste here. And what that is if people go, membership classes, that kind of sounds freaky. I don't understand what that's about. Just come and check it out. The first one, we kind of give you an overview of what it is. But it's also a place where you can come and you can see what this church is about. Like, what is our mission? What's our plan? How do we plan on engaging this community? And how do we plan on using the gospel to redeem what God is doing here in Boulder? And so so come check that out. I believe it starts in a couple weeks, so that'll be headed your way. Also, missional communities are still on break, so we have a nice little extended break going on right now. That's going on, but yeah, the thing I'm the most excited about is we are about ready. This week is a standalone sermon, which we rarely do standalones, but we're going to be diving into the book of Ephesians starting next week, and that'll take us up into the month of August. So we're going to be there for a while, but we're really blessed. We got some guys coming to preach to kind of break it up. So just to give you an idea of what this might look like coming into the new year is that, you know, we're going to be in Ephesians next week. We'll be there for 3 weeks, and then my buddy Brandon Washington from the embassy in Denver, that's the name of the church, he's going to be up here preaching 1 week, and you guys are just going to want to go to his church after you hear him. He's a beast. But he's amazing. We're working with Brian Brown from Park Church in Denver. He's going to be up here 1 week with us. And then Todd Wagner from Watermark is going to be up here at some point in the summer that we're working on. And he's going to be here and preach for us 1 week, which we're trying to work out the details on that right now on the exact days. He's kind of busy, I guess. Church of like a bajillion people. There's things to do. So excited about all that coming up, and I'm excited to be here with you guys. But let me pray, and we'll dive right in. Father, I thank you. I thank you for letting us gather as your church, that you have redeemed us and that you have called us to be a body that loves you and ultimately wants to glorify you. And may that be impressed on our hearts today. May the word of God come alive. May it be powerful. May we hear it not as some man up front speaking, but the word of God speaking into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, Lord, we want to thank you for your son, for his death in our place, so we may be redeemed. Thank you for being powerful and almighty and raising from the dead, conquering sin, Satan, and death. And we worship you now as you are, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, Happy New Year. I'm happy to be with you all. I really am. It's been this year. Maybe for you or me, I mean, you're here, you're in a church. It's been one of the craziest years of my life, one of the best years of my life, you know, and it's always kind of fun to kind of think back on what happened this year, or maybe that's not fun, I don't know, but to think back on what has God done this year. Because a lot of times, right, like, so last night, I had really uneventful New Year's Eve, which I'm cool with. I didn't do a whole lot, you know. We had the Danes over for dinner for a little while because it was Crystal's birthday. Happy birthday, Crystal. And we had them over, and, you know, it was like kids were getting tired, so like, well, let's put everybody to bed. And, you know, and then Aaron came over, and we hung out. But I was looking through the TV, and almost every channel, if you notice this, has like the top whatever of 2011. So we watched the top fails of 2011 for a while. It was hilarious. My favorite one was a lady banging her head off the TV trying to do the Beyonce, all the single ladies dance. But so you get all these lists of things that are happening throughout the year. And a lot of times we can get wrapped up in, oh, I got this job, or I got this, or this thing worked out. But what is impressing my heart this time of year, at least I want it to be, is how have I seen God continue to sanctify me and the people that I'm involved with more into a beautiful image of his bride, the church. I mean, that's what I really want to strive after at the end of the day, right? I mean, that should be the goal. And so that said, goals are interesting things. And so we're going to the year, everybody has goals right now, right? This is not the time you want to go to the gym, right? This is not the time to go check out the gym, because you got people that have never been in there before. Some guy's trying to bench press the water fountain. You know, he thinks it's some sort of workout tool. It's not what it's there for. People, it's just crazy. So we make all these goals. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to do all these things. And we have goals. And hear me. Goals are extremely important. You need them. I make them for everything. I was thinking about this, and I don't know. A lot of people have heard about it, but it's a famous Yale study of 1953 on writing down goals. Has anybody else ever heard of that? Well, they actually found out it's not true, but it's a cool story, and people were inspired by it and ended up doing it. But what it was that they said people who write down goals were like 90-something percent more likely to actually accomplish them, which is cool. That's a neat little tidbit. But goals can be good, or they can get in the way of what matters. And so, but here's my goal for this morning. It's to kind of provide a little bit of laser focus into what is the goal of the church? What is the goal of being here? Why in the world are you sitting here Sunday morning, 9, well, we start late, 48 a.m., the day after New Year's Eve, right? New Year's Day. Well, why are you sitting here? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you do things? Why do you engage your neighbors? Why do you engage people you work with? Why do you love people? Why do you love your spouse? Why are you in this church? When I say this church, I'm not talking about necessarily the Well. I'm talking about the church universal, the big picture. Why are you involved in it? And I'll tell you what our goal here is. Our goal here at the Well, I'll give you the answer up front. It's very simple. It's not very deep. It's not going to blow your mind. But we're going to chat about this quite a bit today. Our goal here at the Well is ultimately one thing. It's to bring God glory. Go here with me if you want. By the way, there's Bibles on the back table. If you want one, you can take one of those. If you don't have one, that's a gift for you. Feel free to take it with you if you like. If you just didn't bring your Bible, you could leave it. That'd be great too. So, let's go here real quick. Let's go to Psalm chapter 96. Verse 7 through 9. I read this often as just kind of a reminder of why I do what I do. You know, sometimes the Psalms have such great focus in areas, other times it's completely out there, but this is very focused. So let's read verse 7 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord of glory and strength. He is the Lord of glory and strength. It's not like that's part of him. He is Lord of it. Don't miss that. Verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Man, let that wash over your soul a little bit of who God is and why we're here. We're here to bring him glory. We're going to talk more about this morning, but listen, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, saying he is worthy. It's not like he has to justify anything. He is Lord of glory, and he is due all glory given to him. So that's our goal here. It's very simple. Our goal is to bring glory to God. The question you should be asking yourself, if you're anything like me, which you guys have heard me preach several times, and most of you, is I'm a big question guy. I like to challenge things. And so I would never, like, if I was sitting in your seat right now, I would never be good enough with somebody just sitting there going, hey, our goal is the glorification of God. I'd be like, yeah, okay, tell me how to do that. Right? Isn't that a great question? Like, we get these things. Bring God glory. Who in here is like, okay, I got that. Done. I know exactly how to do that. Well, the good thing is that the Word of God gives us some God. So I want us to ask questions. How and why? How do we bring God glory and why? And I'm giving you all the answers up front, and we're really going to break this down here in more a minute. But the answer is simply this, is by being the church and being in the church. Okay, right now we have it in our culture generally. I promise I'm going to get more into scripture here in a minute. Just hang with me for a minute. But here's what we have. We have generally, there's two streams. It's like either you're the church and you come to a building and it's Sunday and it's you do exactly what we're doing right now. And that is good. Trust me, I'm a fan of it. Like, we started one. Okay? And so you come and you gather, and that's what you do. And then there's another camp generally, you know, because we tend to swing to extremes, don't we? Where it says, hey, here's the church. The church is just getting together and being with friends. Neither's wrong. The church is the people. It's not the building, right? You've heard that. True. But what I want to get at is the reality is this, is that there is a divine, amazing calling on the church as a whole to, yes, absolutely be the body, but absolutely be the communion of saints getting together to hear the preached word of God. It's a both and. We're not an either or community. We're both and. Both are greatly important. And here's the glory of it all. The calling to be the church is on you. Does that ever blow your mind a little bit when you think about it? That the plan for redeeming the world is God's power through you. Is that He's going to empower you. He's going to give you abilities to get up here and sing praise. He's going to give you the ability to break down His word for somebody. He's going to give you the ability to love compassionately beyond what normal people could understand. He's going to give you those abilities. And He says, I'm going to equip my people, the saints, for the work of the ministry. How awesome is that? And if we're being frank, how scary is that? Because, just bear with me for a minute. You know yourself. I know myself. That scares me to death. How many dumb things I do, how many dumb things I say, how many dumb things I think. My life must be a constant state of repentance to keep up with this plan. Let's walk through scripture a bit and chat about this. I'm going to be primarily in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6 today. So that's where we're going to be. Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm going to paraphrase some of this because we could be here all day. But I'm going to break down some stuff. And what I want to do is this. Is I want to look at the early church. Because a lot of times, the early church gets really lifted up as like, man, we want to be that. And that's a good thing. And we should want to be like them. I mean, it's a great thing. 3,000 people got saved in one day. That's always winning. Okay? That's a good thing. And we should want to be like them. But the story doesn't end there. So what I want to do is we're going to walk through Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 6. And don't worry, I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing and breaking down. But we're going to stop in certain areas and read. And what I want to do is simply this. Is I want to show us how you are the church, and why we are the church. How and why? What did they do? What happened? Because there's a lot that changes between chapter 2 and chapter 6, and we'll get into that. So I'm going to break this down real quick for you. Acts chapter 2 is one of my favorite chunks of scripture. And you know why? Because I'm a church planter. And church planters love this. Because this is what this is. This is a group of guys getting together to start the first church. And they have no plan, no understanding of how in the world they're about to do this. They're just trusting God. They're just holding on. And boy, do they have a tiger by the tail. And so here's what we have at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. Is you have the apostles and many of their followers. Most people believe there's about 120 people total in a room somewhere hiding. Their leader has just been killed, Jesus. And they don't really understand what's going on totally, other than they know Jesus came back to life, and he said, wait for me to send the Holy Spirit. They're scared, and they're hiding, because the reality is that if they come out of hiding, they may get killed. So they're in a room, and they're hiding, and God does something amazing, and we call this the Day of Pentecost. He sends the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all God, co-eternal, equal in nature and power. Right? And so God sends the Holy Spirit, which is the enabling part of the Godhead, through his people, and it falls on them. And it's crazy, right? I mean, if you read this, I mean, they're just talking in tongues, and everybody here is like, I don't know your background. Some of you are more comfortable with that. Some of you, that would freak you out, but it's in the Bible, so you've got to learn how to deal with it, right? So they start speaking in tongues, and even crazier stuff happens. And what ends up happening is there's people there in town who are from all over the world, and they start understanding what they're saying in their own language. I mean, just crazy stuff's happening, and they're there, and this is happening, and all of a sudden, Peter goes, I have to go preach. That's Matt's paraphrase. I have to go preach. So now that these people who were scared and hiding, Peter steps out. And by the way, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 14, this is the first line in the first sermon given in the first church. Check this out. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk. Okay, that's the church. That's the first line. That's how he's kicking off his sermon. Don't worry, we're not drunk. It's God. Right? That's how this whole thing starts. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It says something about the church, though, doesn't it? That it's a lifestyle. It's not that they were drunk. Like listen, they weren't drunk. You need to hear me on that. That's a sin. Being drunk is bad. I really wanted to preach this morning on drunkenness, but the guys talked me out of it. I thought that would have been funny. But they aren't drunk. And here's what's going on. Their lifestyle and what they're doing, in even just an instant like this, in one day, is so reversed to what everybody's used to thinking, that the only thing that makes sense is that these people have to be hammered. And Peter gets up and clarifies. And he gets up and he preaches. Man, does he preach a sermon, right? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, man, he talked about like, this is not secret sensitive. He just brought the word day one, right? Verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, he just brings it. And it goes on to say, and he had many more words. I love it when the Bible says that, right? Like the person writes, like, okay, I'm tired. I got the main point. You're good. He gets up and he preaches. And what happens? Look at verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Dang. Okay? You don't like big churches? Well, then you don't like the first one. Right? But they got it right, though, right? Like, it's okay, though, because they got it right. They weren't just big because people were there and just hanging out. They were big because the gospel works. Because it redeems people. Because it brings salvation into people's life. It frees people from sin, right? It helps. It knits families together. It does what only the gospel can do. So what happened here? What are we called to be? What can we pull from this little chunk of scripture here? This chunk of this great sermon given by Peter. One is don't get drunk, but that's... But primarily it's this. Is that gospel proclamation works. Preaching the word works. Hear me on that. That is something that, listen, we may get so much wrong here. We don't claim to be perfect on any level. We don't even claim to always know what we're doing. But you know what we know how to do? We know how to preach the word. We know how to say, Jesus is Lord. He died for the sins of man. So that you may be redeemed, so that you may be saved, so that you may have life and life to the fullest, so that you may be able to spend eternity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like, we don't compromise there. And neither should you. And neither should you. Preach the word. The gospel works. So many want to tell us now that it's broken and that we need to figure out other ways to do it. Listen, I'm all for innovation and using technology and fear, but at the core, at the base level, the gospel works. Without that, it's all peripherals. It's all lasers. It's all lights. It's all smoke. It's all fog. The gospel, the cross, the burial, the resurrection. That's your first point. So how? Love the word, preach the word. And you're going, well, I'm not a preacher, Matt. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Every life preaches a sermon. It may not look like this. It may not be this thing that I'm doing up here, getting up in front of you. But listen, you preach every day. The conversation with the lady from AT&T that I had on the phone the other day that I was not very happy about, that preached a sermon. Right? My wife watched. My wife was there. She saw me get angry with somebody over a stupid cell phone. That preached a sermon. You know, preached a sermon? What was me trying to help our neighbor get a job? That preached a good sermon. But it's got to be drenched in his word as well. Okay. So how? Let's keep rolling this out. Check this out. The church brings glory to God by doing that thing, by preaching the word. But it doesn't stop there, because now you have to train all these people, right? Because listen, if you're preaching the word regularly, you're going to see people come into the kingdom of God. You're going to see that happen. And it doesn't stop there, right? Like, you can't just be like, oh, you're a Christian, figure it out, I'm out. Right? Like, maybe most of you, I don't know all of your stories, but like, I didn't become a Christian until later in life, until late in high school. Right? And I remember taking the Bible home and going like, all right, where do I go? I mean, I started trying to read from the beginning, which that always goes well, right? You're like, what in the world is going on? And then you hit Exodus, and you're like, oh, Charlton Heston, seen this, I know this movie, right? The Ten Commandments, right? Like, I got this, all right, that's cool. And then it gets crazier, and then it gets crazier, and then you hit Leviticus. And then you stop. Right? Like, and you're just like, we're talking about burning animals here. Where to bury excrement? I don't get it. I'm not really following you here anymore. Right? There's training, though, right? That there's relationship. That there's building. There's time spent together. That there's a knitting together that happens at conversion. It doesn't just stop. If all we were to do was preach the word, it would be pretty simple. But it's so much more than that. Right? And so many of us either get that right or get that wrong. And so many of us maybe err on the side of relationship more than preaching the word. And some of us err on the side of preaching the word and no relationship. It all depends on your personality type, really. But you're probably going to be better at one than the other. But you're called to do both. You're called to do both. And so it looks like this. Check this out. This is some good stuff. Acts 2, verse 42. So all these people, 3,000 people get saved, and check out what they do. This is awesome. You want church growth plans? Here you go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Did you catch what they just did there? Let's keep going. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And check this out. Listen what happens again. They're being obedient. What happens again? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. I really pulled three things out that they did here. One, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the word. They took this seriously. They didn't just go, well, this is cool. They went full in. I wrote here that they went all in, that they were not doing it begrudgingly. That's a heart check for me at times, but maybe for you. You know, especially like, this is my job. I love my job. But there's times I got to force myself into that, and sometimes discipline's a good thing. But man, are we having joy in studying the Word? Are we having joy in cracking this book open and going, what do you have to say, Lord? What are you calling me to? Does this book bring redemptive characteristics out in your life? Can you run to it when stuff is bad? Isn't that a great measuring tool? Right? So we have a bad day. Probably, just so you know, you're going to have one if you haven't had one in a while. They happen. Where do we run first? You know, for me, it's not always this book. You know, for me, you know what it usually is? It's affirmation from other people that I'm doing a good job. I run to people and I go, man, what do you think of the church so far? You know, like, what would you change? I want people to tell me I'm doing good. Like, I mean, how messed up is that? And all the while, I have a father who's sitting here saying, son, you're doing great. You're doing great. I'm here with you. I know it's hard right now, but I'm with you. And all I have to do is open this and realize that. And just read it for a couple minutes. It's on every page. I mean, just like, go to New Testament and go, oh, well, I just opened up fulfilling the law through love. Who knows? Who knew, right? It's in here. Do I run here first? Do I run to food first? Do I run to alcohol first? Do I run to tobacco, to drugs? So what? I don't know what everything, sex. I have no idea what it is for you. But where do we run first? Man, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They loved it. They knew that it brought life. And that'd be a reminder for us. Second thing they did was this, is they prayed. Now, that sounds simple. How many of us need to be reminded of that? Some people in here, man, you guys, some of you, I'm so envious of you. Like, you're the kind of person that's just like, oh man, I've been praying ever since I was born. You know, I just came out of the womb, I just like praying. Like, that's how I've done it. And some of us are like, man, it is the hardest thing in the world for me to do. Like, who in here has seen the movie Up? Right? Like, the cartoon movie, like, I love that movie. You know the dog? Squirrel? That's me. Like, praying, right? Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, Lord, will you help my... What's that? Like, I mean, like, that's what my prayer life looks like too much of the time. Man, they were devoted to it. And man, I'm getting better at that. I'm getting better at that, and I'm learning to love it more. And one of the things that we've done it is the last Wednesday of every month, all our missional communities now are gathering together for prayer. And the last one was one of the best things up from my heart that I've been to in a really long time. So good for me to just sit there, my brothers and sisters, and pray. And Chase did a great job of leading it, where we prayed. But we prayed for our condition of who we are. Romans 3:23, right? That for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we prayed about that and said, thank you for healing us. Thank you for being. And then we prayed about this community as a whole. And we said, thank you. Be with the well. Be with the people that are here. Be with them as they go forth. Give them boldness. Give them strength. We prayed about that. And then we prayed about our community at large. Boulder County, this area, the Front Range. And we said, Lord, do something miraculous here that we can't even fathom. And continue to work out your salvation. And finally, we prayed globally for missionaries, for those who are in prison for faith. Man, it was so good for me. And it's so crazy that I have to like work to get there, isn't it? But they prayed. And they had fellowship. That's a Christian word for hanging out. They hung out really well together. They liked being together. That's a key to fellowship, by the way. They loved one another. And, like, it's deep fellowship. It's not like that, like, hey, let's do this potluck thing. I used to be part of a church that did a lot of potlucks, and it was good at times. But, like, it was hard to get to know people. But, like, and they had people in their homes. And there's something really personal about bringing somebody into your home. You have to serve them, right? Or you can be a jerk and not. But you have to serve them. You bring them in. And you take care, and they did, and take out in there, like, don't miss it. But, man, they cared deeply for one another. To the point of, they sold stuff to take care of each other. Well, I don't have the money for that, but I got this I can sell and I can help you out. And it was as they had need. It wasn't just like a lot of people take this and just kind of cram it into that thing, like, it's bad to have stuff. You should sell it all and give it to the church. If you want to do that, we're game. But I'm joking. A little bit. But it's as they had need. They like, don't you have to be involved in people's life to actually know what they need? Man, and I just think that that's not, like, I don't, like, I'm sorry. Like, this is just, like, ripping my soul open here today, right? Like, let's make a list of all the things Matt's bad at and put it in the Bible and make him preach on it. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Like, and so it's like you have to know the needs of people to serve those needs. And listen, you're not called to know everybody as intimately. You're not called to be involved in every single person's life. Like right now, and actively involved here, I know it doesn't look like it today, but we have just over 100 people now actively involved here. That's impossible for you to be involved that deeply in every single one of their lives. But there are some. Do you know the needs of the people in your missional community? Man. They took care of them. Deep fellowship with one another. Do you have that fellowship with anybody? Like, I have a buddy who, you know, we all kind of have those guys, like, who I have deep fellowship with, and I don't even live close to them. We call each other regularly, you know. We complain about stuff together. We sound like a bunch of old women whining about stuff. you know, like, or old dudes. I'm sorry if that bothered you. I just picture the people in my hometown who hung out at Wendy's on, like, Thursday mornings. There was, like, this group of older people that would get in there, and they would just, like, I mean, like, everything that was wrong in the world, you would hear from it there. They had, like, their coffee, and they'd do their thing. Dave Thomas is a hero in Ohio, by the way, where I'm from. That's where everybody hangs out. So we're like,
who's Dave Thomas?
Founded Wendy's. Don't worry about it. don't worry about it. My grandma loves him. All right. Anyways, way off. They have deep fellowship. I mean, they care for one another. Do you have those relationships? Man, we are a culture that has more means and capabilities to be connected with one another, and yet we are the loneliest culture that's ever walked the planet. How crazy is that? Right? Eat a meal with somebody. That's what they did. You know that brings God glory? You know that these three things that they did, they devoted themselves to the Word. They prayed. They had deep fellowship. They glorified God. I mean, that's like, people are like, how do I glorify God? There you go. Devote yourself to His Word. And listen, it's not so that God's like, oh good, you did your homework. It's so that you can have joy. It's beautiful. By the church bringing God glory through these things, their fellowship deepened. And hear me. And it says where signs and wonders happen amongst them. Many miracles, depending on the translation you use. Know this, that signs and wonders happen. We have a God that can do that, you know? I mean, He's like parting seas and stuff. Like, He can heal people. He can fix things. He can do as He pleases. But know this, that signs and wonders are always a result of gospel proclamation. Anywhere in the Word you look, you will never find signs and wonders preceding gospel proclamation. The gospel is proclaimed, signs and wonders happen. That's how it works out. And we see that happening in their community. So here's what you have. Take a snapshot of this in your mind, and it should almost just make you cry. You have a community that is just preaching the word. From its leaders preaching to the people preaching the gospel to each other. You have them devoting themselves even more into the word and studying it. You have a community that's praying, and you have a community that loves each other and is in deep fellowship with one another. It's just bringing God glory. And you know how we can know that it's bringing God glory? Signs and wonders are happening. And what? More people are coming into the kingdom. God's hand is obviously on this thing. And how did they do it and where? They did it two ways. In the temple courts, which, by the way, that didn't last much longer for them to be able to meet publicly. Because shortly after this, we have our first martyr in a couple chapters in between verse chapter 2 and chapter 6, Stephen. He gets stoned, and not the boulder stoned, he gets hit with rocks. Right? He gets killed. And so, but they're meeting in the temple court. They're meeting large gathering. They're getting together. All of the communities are coming together in the temple to worship God. And where else? In their homes. Sound familiar? Right? What are we trying to do? We gather here large. We get together in the temple courts. We get here at the church, at the big building, to get together, hear the word from them, and then we try to get together small throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our area. We invite people in. We break bread with one another, as it says. That's why Michelle Kings were always eating. Like, you guys eat a lot. I know, I love it. So they did it large and small. And it brought God glory. It brought Him glory. But check this out. As the body of Christ grows, those who are being discipled. So we see all these people, right? Like the people being discipled. That's what we call that. Where they're devoting to the teaching. They're in fellowship with one another. There's accountability over them. We see leadership exercising authority. And not like we have a bad thing in our head with authority, but authority that brings life. And we see those things happening, but there's a turn where discipleship has to roll into those who are being discipled are now leading. There's 11 of them. Judas is gone, right? 3,000 people. What are they really going to do? I mean, they can get up and teach, but it's very hard to fellowship with them all, right? Acts chapter 6. We're almost there. Check this out. Tell me if this sounds like any church you've ever been part of, right? Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, so it catches, discipleship is going up. There's discipleship happening. People are being made into disciples, right? While I was increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. What's happening here? They're discipling. They're taking, but there's needs in the community, and not all of them are being met. So a complaint arose. Right? They come forward and say, hey, our widows aren't being taken care of. What's going on? And we get a snapshot of amazing leadership here from the 11. You get an amazing snapshot here, and here's what happens. Verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. That doesn't sound very good to us in our culture, but what they're saying, listen, we are called and gifted to preach to you. We can't take care of everybody. What we have our gifting, this is what we're called to do. We need help, right? Verse 3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Verse 7. And the word of God, check this out, So we're still glorifying God. How do we know? Check it out. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Here's what happened. It grew. People came into the kingdom. So they prayed. They studied the word. They listened to it be taught. They gathered together, and more people came. And so what they had to do is they had to train more people. They had to bring them up, and then they had to say, listen, we're going to ask you to do something scary here. We're going to ask you to take care of the church. It's people. We're going to ask you to sit with them. We're going to ask you to share your life with them. We're going to ask you to watch to their kids. We're going to ask you to cook them meals. We're going to ask you to open your home and let them come in and cry when things go badly. We're going to ask you to do all the things that we have done for you. And that is scary. You know how you become a disciple? I mean, there's lots of things, but you know how I have it in my head and how I see it played out in the Word? A disciple is somebody who moves from knowledge to heart, and because of the knowledge of the Word that they had, they begin to serve. They do as God has gifted them. They stop sitting back, and they step up, and they advance the kingdom as God has uniquely gifted them. You see, we've kind of messed this up a little bit in our culture. Because we look at the guy who has the spotlight on him and has the music stand in front of him as the one who is supposed to do this, or the leadership team, or the elders, or the deacons, primarily as the ones who... But the reality is, if you claim the name of Christ, you are called to move into that category at some point in your life. Leadership is not an option for the Christian. Men... Leadership is not an option. I don't care if you're single or if you're married. You're called to lead. Ladies, man, you're called. We need your leadership in so many ways. Like, man, I'm a wreck without my wife. Like, I am just a mess. She provides leadership in our home. And I'll be clear, it's not like this overarching, like she's in charge and she's just yelling. It's nothing like that. It's a beautiful, compassionate, grace-filled leadership that she gives me. And we need leadership in the church. We need people stepping up, and we need them doing this. Let's just review real quick before we wrap up. One is, God called men to stand up and preach. And he calls you to preach in your life. That's what we saw first. Second thing is, those converted learned to do what? They learned how to study the Word, they learned how to pray, and they learned how to be in fellowship with one another. And they grew from being discipled to an actual disciple maker. They grew. It didn't stop there. So why? That's how. But why? Like, if you're thinking about me, like, why? This is a lot of work. Studying the Word, submitting to leadership, reading my Bible, going through training things, trying to read books that will advance me and help me understand the gospel, opening my home to people, bringing them in, bringing people in that I don't really even know if I like yet, people who are rude in my home. Listen, like, that's a hard thing for me. But we've invited these guys over who live kind of in our neighborhood multiple times, and every time they show up about 45 minutes late and high. And that, to me, is rude. That's not, like, you don't show up to dinner that way, okay? If you didn't know that, that's not good. Okay? But why? Well, why should I put up with that? Why should I not just be like, get out of my house? Why? Philippians chapter 2. I mean, isn't that true? As you turn there, isn't it true, though, that, like, doing this Christian thing is going to be difficult? See, you need to know why. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, this is talking about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because Jesus did it. Claim that you are a Christian means to emulate Christ. He did not have to do anything. We deserve death. He chose to leave glory, leave heaven, perfection, and humble himself. That's what this is saying. You know where we get the word humiliation? It comes from the process of Jesus leaving his throne in heaven and coming to earth. That's where we get the word humiliation. It was humiliating for him to become like us and to walk amongst us and be here and to die for us. He came to serve. And like, listen, like if you're ever questioning your level of service, like, I think we're doing too much of this. I think this is too hard. Is it to the point of death yet? Because that's the level that our Savior went to. He served till he died. It's pretty remarkable. Why? Ephesians chapter 5. It's talking about marriage here. But it's beautiful that he uses marriage as the example between his relationship between Jesus and the church. It's the closest thing we got to understanding it. So he says this here. 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. Man. You see that? Like, he's saying, husbands, love your wives like this. Like, so that she can be presented before God blameless. Husbands, invest that way, because you know why? Because our Savior has in the church. He is presenting her, that's us, blameless before God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's remarkable. Why? Why do we do these things? Why? It's because he's worthy, he's been a great example, and he is God. And he loves us dearly. That's why. We bring glory to God because he deserves it. He deserves it. We do it by what? By gospel proclamation, discipleship, and discipleship, replication, and service. It's really simple. How do we plan on glorifying God this year here at the Well? Very simple. We will preach the Word. And we will ask you to preach the Word. We want to make disciples. And then we want some disciples who are going to make some more disciples and serve in this community. There's a lot of ways to do that, and so we wanted to provide, because if you're anything like me, I mean, this is probably bad, I should admit this, but like, you can find me on Thursday, like, what'd you preach on? Like, now I remember, it like takes me a minute, right? I need action right away. So what we have is there's areas that we need help here. We need missional community leaders. We need people who say, I want to lead. I want to lead a community. I want to go through that training. I know it's going to be hard, and I know it's going to be long, but I want to be in that. Man, I want to be somebody who serves in the nursery. I want to be somebody who takes care of kids. I posted an article in the city, some of you may have seen it, on why single dudes should be in the nursery. You can go read that on your own if you'd like. We need help in the worship team. Seth needs help. Needs a lot of help. I'm joking, bro. Right? There's multiple areas. Well, we need help setting this thing up on Sunday mornings. Well, we need help bringing meals. And so what we're going to do is downstairs, some of the leadership is just going to be down there. And we'll plug you into a group on the city if you're interested in being the nursery. So, Crystal and Ari will be down there. Crystal, raise your hand. So she's down. Seth, I mean, he's the guy who wears the microphone and the tambourine and the drum up here and the guitar. He'll be down there talking about music. Aaron, connect, right?
Yeah.
If you want to know how to connect and help serve people just in general, like today, there's a family moving here today, right, Rob? Are they going to be in today? They're moving in up in Longmont, and they need some help moving in. We need some people to go up there and help them move in today. Maybe bring them a meal or two, stuff like that. Talk to Aaron. He can help set you up in the city and that kind of stuff. If you want to talk about, man, what does it look like to lead a missional community, come chat with me. We'll all be downstairs. We can help you out. We look really cool, too. We brought iPads, so we're pretty excited about that. So we'll be down there to do that. And hear me. Those are just a few. Some of you, I have no idea what your gifting is. Some of you, you may be a person who can sit and pray like nobody's business, and we need your gifting. We need you to use that gifting. But talk to us. See if we can help you. Use the city. Use those things. Use those resources. And know that we serve and we use these gifts. We sacrifice. We go outside areas of our comfort zone. Why? Because Jesus did. And he is a great example. And he's God. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your son, for his example of service and love and compassion. Thank you that he is just and that he has chosen to save us. Lord, I pray for those that are far from God now, that you would move on their hearts and that you would be redeeming them right here, right now, today. That those that are far from your kingdom may come into it. And Lord, may we be a church that is open to being used. Be open to the power of your Holy Spirit, which you have sent to help us change this city, this county, this world. I love being part of this, Lord. It's not always easy. Doesn't always make sense to me either. But you are good and you are sovereign. And you are working all things together for good. May we rest in that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.